Hi there, I'm Dennis Velko, and you are tuning in to yet another fantastic episode of Out Bureau Voices, where we have engaging dialogues with LGBTQ professionals, entrepreneurs, and community leaders from around the world. And today, we are very happy to be joined by Mikkel Gray. They are a life coach, but just to make sure that I don't get it wrong, I'm going to let them just chat all about it and give us a little bit of the background. So welcome to the show, Mikkel.
Thank you, Dennis. I'm happy to be here with you. It's going to be a blast.
Well, awesome. So Mikkel, why don't you give us a little bit of kind of backstory into, you know, what you've been doing and have kind of led you on your life path journey to be focusing on what you do today.
Sure. So I've always known in some capacity that I was called to be a life coach. A lot of maybe counselors or life coaches say I was the kid who was the go-to counselor. Everyone would come to me and talk to me about their problem in middle school. People would have a romantic issue. Even in middle school, I was always that kid. But I still was convinced for 20 years after that I didn't know what I wanted to do. And also the consideration of taking the full leap into entrepreneurship kind of held me back from, held me in a state of confusion. But before I really jumped into this life coaching for Mikkel Gray Life Coaching, I was a kid's soccer coach for 2 to 8 year olds. So that kind of gave me the content or the theme of leadership, teaching, guiding people to their best selves, even 2 to 8 year olds. And so the theme was still there that kind of locked in my confidence and had me kind of build the foundation into transitioning into life coaching. Should I talk a little bit about what I do as a life coach as well?
Well, sure, but I'd like to kind of go back to one point for just a moment that you said, and, you know, kind of the angst of getting into entrepreneurship. And I can, you know, totally resonate with that. And so many people have that kind of, it's a fear because it's you're taking a risk. You're taking a risk on, you know, your ideas. You're taking a risk on your skills. And it's, you know, being an entrepreneur is not just a risk. It's a risk in all of those things, but then it's, OMG, will someone actually pay me for my product or services? You know, so there's so many hats that an entrepreneur has to wear, especially a solo entrepreneur. You know, you have to not only have a product or a service, you also have to do the legal, or, you know, find someone to do that. You have to do the accounting, you have to do, but even before you get to a lot of that, you have to do the marketing, right? And so there's so many, I like to call them opportunities for learning and growth. But, you know, yes, they're challenges, right? Especially solo entrepreneur, limited budget, got to do everything canned, scrappy. So I can totally understand that. And so now let's chat about your kind of focus area on your business as a life coach. Let's start delving into that.
Sure. I think the word that people super resonate with is just mindset, right? What you think about, you bring about is kind of a common law of attraction-esque phrase. I like to tell people that I go even deeper. So it's one thing to say, think positive, think positive, think positive. But I like to bring people to the negative thoughts, right? You need to go to the darkness and bring it to the light. I want to support people in talking about the negative beliefs that they have, where they come from, why they're there, how they actually are protecting you. You may be beating yourself up for these thoughts, but when we work together, you'll actually see, oh my gosh, there's a part of my brain that's actually believing that because they believe that's the safest mode of thought for me right now. And why? And then you juxtapose that with the affirming ultimate truth that's there and what part of you resists actually owning that. It's one thing to say something positive. It's another thing to embody it, to actually have it a part of your identity. And so yeah. A lot of life coaches will say, I support people I'm that person that kind of cuts those egoic thoughts at the neck time and time again, so you can actually feel the experience of that person who actually believes those positive things that you're saying.
Well, I would love to kind of expound upon that or echo it just a bit. Pardon me. Because when you don't deal with those negative, well ingrained programs over time, recalled and replayed and replayed and replayed and replayed over time, that becomes comfortable because it's what you allow and it's what you have repeated for so long, whether that be for a couple of years or the vast majority of your life. And what people don't necessarily know or understand is that, as I shared with you, I love to learn something every day. And just yesterday, one of the videos that I was watching on YouTube was talking about how your brain is literally wired for the negativity, for the flight or fight, because the example was, you know, if you're walking in the woods and you see a dark figure, your brain immediately goes, huh, you know, because just in case it's something spooky, your brain is actually, even before you reacted, going to that negative, that negative thought for safety, for survival. And then if you do find out, oh, it's just a big rock, well, whew, you're safe. You can calm down now. But if it was a leopard, and you just, you know, nonchalantly went around your day, you could have just gotten eaten. So it's, and then there's also the deep programming that your brain does. It actually, when you bring and they were saying how in that educational video, how there's actually like three portions of your brain that when shown a neutral, a positive, or a negative image, the negative image like fires off three times as much neural activity than the positive or neutral thought. So there's much stronger. And also, folks, when you constantly re-engage synapses of reinforcing that thought, you know, that constantly going over some conversation or something that happened to you, or something your mother or father said or did or didn't do, and you're constantly replaying that in your brain, you're actually continuing to keep those neuro pathways intact. Because if you let go of it over time, that's going to release and going to diminish over time and time over time. But if you're constantly thinking about it, constantly reliving it, boof, it's right there. So that's what I really liked about in our initial conversation, that you do focus on those, because, you know, even just going to a psychologist or group therapy or just group or whatever, they also talk about how you have to confront those things, you have to deal with those things in order to move ahead. So I hope that brings a little bit of clarity for folks as to why this is so important. Your brain is literally wired to be negative, and you're strengthening those negative reinforcement bonds every time you bring it up. So work with someone like Mikhail and help get rid of that with some good coaching. So let's delve a little bit further into your practice.
Sure, for sure. And so thank you for that, Dennis, the scientific background. Now, I will say, in my experience, sometimes when we dive deeper into the personal development realm, there's kind of this turn a little bit where we use the personal development work to be another to-do list or another thing to kind of beat ourselves up over the head with. You don't actually have to go to the recesses of your mind and remember every horrible thing. What I like to say is expose yourself, yes, to the conversation, but a lot of the negative addiction is us avoiding protecting ourselves, but it's actually us avoiding the positive aspect. So when we're trying to do the positive and say, think positive, it's a forced band-aid. But then when we go into the, man, this is a negative belief we have, and then we're introduced to, hey, this is the other side of it, we'll resist it. So we say we want positive, but we don't want to take the avenue that will have us acknowledge the negative and transmute into the positive. And the reason that we can't absorb the positive is because we actually fear getting the positive experience. Now, we might say, like, we want it, but what'll happen is when you're presented with it, how do you respond? Do you immediately go into a fear, doubt, you know, rumination thing? Or do you say, of course, I've been waiting for you, I'm worthy of this? Most people, especially collectively, we kind of like to be self-deprecating to kind of like fit into the crowd, like, and downplay our accomplishments or our positive experiences. But collectively as a world, my deeper mission as a life coach is to say abundance is a thing, meaning that there's room for all of us to be on our aligned path, our aligned mission, and to be fully funded, supported, and at ease. But we don't actually have that ultimate truth reflected in many parts of the physical realm. A lot of us believe in a hierarchy. A lot of us believe in a dog-eat-dog, bucket of crabs, tear each other down mentality. So the individual work, the intrapersonal work that we do is going to improve the interpersonal, the way we engage with other people, and then it's going to change things on a collective level. But what I like to tell people is once you're with me or with a coach, or you're exposing yourself to your desires, the things that you actually want time and time again, the negative stuff is actually going to come up. You might have that childhood memory of your parent or your grandparent telling you, oh, that's unrealistic, or, oh, there's no way you can. And then you'll actually know that's a memory we can work with. And so I don't like to dwell too much in getting all of the memories right. Of course, there's kind of a difference. You know, I'm not a licensed psychiatrist or a therapist, right? There's a difference between I'm stuck, but I'm kind of in a very functional place versus very chronic, deep trauma to where you're not functioning day to day. And I use my own intuition to kind of determine whether someone's a good fit for me. But I always say, lead with your desires. This is not a hedonistic thing. And your shit will come up along the way. So don't worry about missing all of the negative stuff or it's going to haunt you. Believe me, your resistance and your deeper belief system will arise the further you allow yourself to expand.
Yes, and that totally makes sense. And I have had the clarification with past people on who were in a, not exactly, but a similar, you know, life coaching, and clarifying that, you know, here's the thing, folks, you got to love yourself first, right? You got to believe in yourself in order to grow and move forward and feel worthy of being a business owner, feeling worthy of someone else paying you for your products or services, or feeling worthy of that if you're an oboe player and you want to be on the stage and have, you know, a million fans, okay, to feel that worthiness. So I'll just say sometimes, often, you need to focus on yourself a little bit first and align yourself to the point where you're loving yourself, not to sound all ookie dookie, but, you know, whether that's through group therapy, whether that's through one-on-one therapy, whether that's just through a coach like Mikhail, who is not a trained psychologist or therapist, but has the capacity to guide you through some of the steps, and with the understanding that they have the ability to go, you know what, I'm going to still, you know, work with you here, but maybe you should see a professional mental health counselor or someone else to help you in that portion of your life, so that work over here that we're doing can be the most effective. Does that sound correct to you?
Sure. Now I have to say, I don't think I've ever suggested that to a client. I've had one client that at the end of our time together has self-selected that they felt that they actually felt it increased their self-esteem and worthiness to a place where they actually wanted to go into their past and uncover some stuff. So it actually was the opposite.
Oh, okay. Well,
Everything
great.
okay?
Yeah, great.
Yeah. I had a point, but I lost it. You go.
No worries. Well, I have certainly told a few people that they've needed psychological help.
And no shame either way. There's a lot of people
No,
who do both,
I
right?
say that in jest, but after a divorce of 17 years, I took some time, and I found a veterans group because I am a U.S. Army veteran. I found a veterans group dealing with a lot of issues, but in around PTSD, and we'll just say, several areas of my life have been very challenging, and I found that very helpful. And then one of the group leaders, it was through the VA, and one of the group leaders I really connected with, she was a licensed therapist at the VA, and I asked her, there's just some things, I'm gay. And this wasn't a gay only group, although they were very open and very, welcoming and inclusive. But, I didn't want to necessarily talk about everything, right? In that group. So we did, I don't know, about 18 or so sessions over about 6 months, one-on-one, just me and her, and then still kind of maintained that group for almost a year. Yeah, it was a year. And so there is no shame in saying, you know what, there's some things I want to explore. And sometimes in a group setting, it's or not just in a nagging session, not just like bitching out with your friends, but in a where it's guided by someone who's a therapist. And there is absolutely no shame in that. And you know what? It actually takes strength and courage in most arenas to say, you know what? I am one person, and I want to go to someone who is completely not part of my life, completely objective, and can just offer me ideas on ways in which to think about things and frame things and so forth. So anywho, so just I it's not Mental Health Awareness Week or Mental Health Awareness Month, but I brought that up in several conversations in the past because I just think it's so good for people to hear
Totally agreed. I'm
that.
back. I just wanted to
Okay.
make sure construction didn't talk over you.
No worries. So obviously we don't know names or something, has there been any perhaps some examples of what you have done or walk us through, kind of what you do with your some progress success?
Sure. I talk a lot about desire, so we've talked about that, right? And so a lot of people say, I don't know what I want. I don't know what I want to do. I don't know what I want to do. Now, what I've found is that a lot of people say that, but number one, they may not actually know what they want to do. And maybe it is a time of discovery, and it's my job to just support them in what that actually looks like, right? But sometimes number two, I think I already alluded to this somewhat, which is like, I do know what I want to do, but I'm really afraid of what will happen when I just admit that to myself. I may have to completely do away with the life as I know it now and completely restructure things, right? Maybe I have a fear of attention. I have a fear of what other people's opinions are going to be. And so these are things that would come up. We would go kind of into the past and figure out, like, where did you learn that to be fully expressed? Where did you learn that this industry that you want to get into somehow is, I don't know, associated with less than or something like that. So a lot of my clients, they come out of our journey together, not just with confidence, but clarity on who they are and what they want. And I use a lot of different modalities. I use Myers-Briggs, I use Enneagram, I'll sometimes use human design. I'll use my intuition with each person to see what modality will work for them. But the whole point is, it's all about them. And for many of my clients, for the first time, they have never actually been all about them because they've operated from a survival stance of being concerned with what other people think about them or being afraid. There's a fear of abandonment and like a shame driving almost every one of their actions. And then there's a very real fear, of survival, like money concerns and things like that. But they know deep down, they come to me because they want purpose. And so that's what I support people in, not just the worthiness aspect, but also the purpose. Now, the truth is, I just want to say this. If I were to say one thing on this podcast, it would be like, you're already loved. You're already worthy as you are right now. And so everything that I do and I talk about is going back to that. You'll find once you get into this space of loving yourself, before you're just like, oh, I don't have to do anything actually to earn love or to earn attention or to earn worthiness. And everything that I've been doing and thinking has subconsciously been an attempt to earn that love or to prove I'm lovable or worthy. And once you stop operating from a place of having to prove, explain, justify, there's true peace and freedom there. And so that's another thing a lot of my clients will say. They'll say, I had peace. This is not a tangible thing. It's not 5Xing your income, right? But to go home and to go to bed at night knowing that you're safe, loved, and supported, right? That you're going to be divinely led in anything that you do. It's an intangible that a lot of people intuitively know they're going to get through me and my support, but it's not something that you can describe unless you experience it. Once all of the performative BS is removed and you're just like, oh, this is the piece that I've been trying to do all of these things to acquire, but I actually had to kind of remove all of these expectations and methods that I thought I had to do. And so this is a part of life coaching that some people, they're not ready for because it's not a very specific, I was going to use a certain life coach's name. There's like kind of a corporate, more conventional life coaching approach. I'm not a conventional life coach. When I talk about spiritual life coaching, I talk about mindset coaching. I'm talking about a lot of people think it's just the goal setting. It's not that. It's about the energy and the feeling that you have behind all of that. And so we're talking about energetic, not just your physical realm. It's not about your job search. It's not about all of that. It's how you feel about the job search. It's how you feel about your ability to get the job that you desire, right? It's not about the specific roles. It's the theme. I told you all about how when I was like, I have to get a specific job or I don't know what I want. But there is a very recurring theme and feeling that I felt. I felt very confident when I was the center of attention. I felt very confident when I was teaching or leading. I felt very confident when I was being funny. I felt at home and completely amazing when I talked about, you know, social justice issues. So life coaching allows me to do all of that. And so you'll find kind of going back in your past that there's always clues for the aligned spaces and actions and people that you're meant to be with. And so again, that peace, that freedom, that alignment, that confidence, that worthiness, these are all woo-woo words, but I think a lot of people listening to this podcast will get to feel into themselves the realm of possibility available to them that they haven't even touched the surface of.
Absolutely. And, you know, you're really spot on there because, you know, all of your thoughts are energy. All of your feelings are energy, a response to your thoughts, a response to your environment. And all of that has magnetic energy, you know, waves. And so when we're, you know, kind of touching on the laws of attraction is what your strongest emotions are what you feel. And getting, I like what you say, getting down to the kind of root emotion of something. How does it make you feel? Does it make you feel sad, happy, confident, fear, love? You know, all of those, and there's a whole bunch of stuff. Actually, on outbureau.com, there is a group for laws of attraction. And in it, you know, I've started a lot of groups, so I can't possibly be the knower of all things. But what I do is I'll post some videos, from other people. But I invite everyone out there who's listening to this to come on to outbureau.com, outbureau.com. Register, it's free. Just complete at least 30% of your profile, and then you'll be able to join various groups. There's states and cities, country groups. The site now is in 103 languages. So, and every day I'm just amazed. I mean, I'm getting people from Ethiopia and Namibia and, you know, countries where I know that there could be in danger for their lives, or safety put in prison. And so having this, you know, in all these languages gives access. And so even the show notes for this will be seen in 103 languages, but unfortunately it doesn't translate the audio. So, well, very interesting. So has there, again, you, without names, and of course we don't know who they are, but if would you be okay in sharing kind of like maybe one person's, you know, kind of like how they came to you, what their issue was, and how your life coaching helped them and kind of what they achieved through it? Or is that putting you on the spot?
Sure. Are you wanting more specifics?
Well,
we talked about tangibles versus intangibles. So I feel like you're maybe asking for a more specific example. I mean, an example could be, you know, a new job, right? Clarity on your job. Burnout. Why do you burn out? We talk about boundaries. So a person will start with me, maybe not have a job, will find job. A person will start with me, but then when they get that job, because it's aligned, other areas of their life within relationship, health, mental and physical, will start to be glaringly, you know, inconsistent. And so they'll be moved to change that. And so all areas of their life change. Relationship is a big one. There's something about the pandemic for some reason. I myself am, I don't know, a quarter of a year into post-breakup single life, right? But a lot of my clients are going through relational transitions. And so what that is they, I think I have one client who is finding themselves within their marriage, codependency and things like that. And how do we restructure that? When I feel like, oh my gosh, I don't need to, you know, cling to this person or be overly focused on their needs. And so that person is having to kind of get a little bit clearer and feels more agency within their marriage. And yeah, other people, yeah. Like there's breakups, there's new relationships. That's probably the biggest thing now. There's something about the pandemic, I'm sure you all have heard, where in certain countries, people are just divorcing all over the place. But a lot of people are just, you know, not just life is short, but I think people are just really can't look away from things that they've maybe used going out and hanging out with friends or sleep, being away from their spouses. They can't avoid that stuff anymore. And so things got to a breaking point. And so yeah. I've supported a lot of people in where transitioning out of the relationship, restructuring the relationship, starting another relationship and ending a relationship. That's probably the biggest thing right now.
Okay. Alrighty. Well, this has been a very insightful conversation. Is there anything you'd like to add before we sign off today?
Sure. I can't remember if I said this already, but I'll just say it again because I think it bears repeating. When we talk about belief, right? In order for you to receive something into your life, create something in your life, you have to believe that you're worthy of receiving it. So let's say that, I don't know, you're dating and you meet someone and it's like really good and you're dating for a while and then it doesn't work out. Now, when it doesn't work out, do you say, I knew it, doesn't work out for me, right? Do you say, I knew it, nothing works out for me? Or do you say, oh, well, cool, that's super clear that that person was not the one. Same with job. Who are you as the one that believes that you get to have it? If you really believe that you got to have it and was on its way, you would not be fazed by, you know, temporary setbacks. In fact, it wouldn't be a temporary setback. It would be a bridge to what's actually for you. So just be aware, for the people listening to that, just be aware of how you respond when things don't work out. Are they not working out, or is it just more clarity for what's actually for you that's on its way?
Absolutely. When one door opens, when one door closes, three can open. It's just, are you open to seeing it as that a potential impossibility? And in this, I will repeat what I have said numerous times throughout. It's one of my favorite sayings, and that is magic and miracles can happen when you believe and take action. So those who just believe and sit on the couch, you will be rewarded a warm seat. So you gotta, and it goes in with life coaching and with laws of attraction, because you know, if if someone just sits on the couch and plays video games every 7 days a week and says, oh, well, I want to be a millionaire. I want to be a millionaire. Okay, well, what are you doing towards becoming a millionaire? You're just sitting on the couch playing video games, right? So the stated desire isn't being matched with action. And so that's where the magic and miracles can happen. And that's how I state it. And that's kind of a nod or a wink to laws of attraction. Because, you know, and being, getting back to your first state, you know, that first thing I kind of focused on with your statement on being an entrepreneur, you know, being a solo entrepreneur is, I highly recommend having one or two additional co-founders, depending on what you're doing. But just to break up with different skills, just to break up that workload. But being even a solo entrepreneur, it's like, myself, I work 10, 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, but every day I learn something new in multiple different fields. And every day I take action towards the goal, doing something, adding content, increasing the capabilities of the website, so that it's, you know, viewed and perceived as a solid place to be, you know, but, you know, whatever it is. And, but you have to also believe you're worthy, getting back to your point. And so, anywho, folks out there, just getting to your point where you're taking action towards what you want, even no matter how small, but that you are taking some kind of action toward it, whether you're reading a book to learn about it, whether you're watching YouTube videos, because gosh knows there's almost any kind of content and training and educational content you could imagine on YouTube. But if you just start, but then that's not enough. You then have to take that training and then start to do things as well. And when you start to do things and you build that little bit of confidence from doing that one thing, okay, I created a logo. Yay, isn't it pretty? I created a tagline. Great, love it. I've gotten really great feedback on that tagline. And, you know, you just do something that gets you forward. Like, I created this international pride flag and I have put it out in the world just right alongside all the pride flags. So, yeah. Do you have to do this? You don't have to do what I'm doing, but you need to work on whatever it is, right? Like you taught soccer. So no one starts off being the best soccer player, right? They have to learn how to even run, right? They have to build endurance to be able to play the game. They have to learn how to handle the ball with their feet. They have to learn how to bounce it off of their heads and you know, they have to learn the rules. And so each of those steps, you know, if you can apply that kind of basic thought into your areas of your life and then focus on whatever that is for you and realize that you are worthy, but you also can't expect to be a millionaire playing video games 7 days a week, sitting your butt on the couch. Okay, so sorry, I just had to preach.
Hey, I was listening, all good.
Oh, well, awesome. Well, I so much appreciated this conversation.
Thank you for having me. This is awesome.
All righty. Well, thank you, everyone, for staying tuned to this episode of Out Bureau Voices, our conversations with LGBTQ professionals, entrepreneurs, and community leaders are meant to enlighten and inspire. We hope that's, we've done that. Please add comments down below on what you pulled out of this very interesting conversation. What were some of the key points that Mikkel said that really resonated with you? We'd love to have your thoughts in the comments down below. Thank you so much. This is Dennis Falco. Bye-bye.